Isaiah, although his name does not appear in the great men of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, there are enough references that he also belongs to the great hall of faith. The author of Hebrews mentions there were people thrown into lions, people were thrown into two, that means human body cut into two. And went through immense persecution. And tradition says, Isaiah is one among them. In fact, according to the Jewish tradition, the tradition of Talmud, Isaiah was cut into two. Isaiah was martyred by, you know, the wicked king of Judah, Manasseh, cut into two. So we have enough reason to consider the fervent faith of this great man as we go through the lives of great men of faith. Isaiah can be counted so well in the company. So Jeremiah, so Ezekiel, so Daniel. We would be meditating. Last Lord's Day, we considered Isaiah's vision, a man of vision, a man who gave himself to win people for God, a man of vision and a man of winsome, a man who labored so hard, who heard the call, whom shall I send, when the Lord said. What did Isaiah say? Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Into a people, Isaiah was sent to a people stiff-necked. No wonder that he was cut into two. He had to face martyrdom. That was the generation he lived in, stiff-necked people. And Isaiah chapter 6, we meditated last week, how difficult was Isaiah's ministry. People were so much into sin. Today we come further. A passage that gives us further glimpse of the faith of this great man. So today's message I have entitled, Isaiah, a man who pleaded God to come down to help his people. Take note of this. Isaiah, his relationship with God was so close, so intimate, so much so that he called upon God. He literally cried out unto God, looking into the sinfulness of his people and asking God, pleaded with God, oh God, come down. Oh God, chapter 64, verse 1, oh that thou would rend the heavens, thou would tear open the heavens, thou would come down. Not everyone can pray like that. Asking God to open heaven and come down to this earth to deal with a sinful people. Not everyone can pray. But Isaiah was such a man of vision, a man who gave himself for the cause of God. And this morning we are going to meditate, a man of burden. Isaiah was a man of burden. When he saw the sinfulness of the people, he could not say, oh, never mind. What is the big thing? Let me also join the company and enjoy the pleasures of the world. Why should I take a stand for God? Never mind. Today we see so many, self-proclaimed Godmen, making big empires in the name of God, in the name of religion. So tempting. And we also get into the company and have private jet and own yacht. That's where today, last week, income tax raided a self-proclaimed gospel preacher, and it was found out that he is one of the wealthiest people in the world. One of the wealthiest people in the world. And I was told that when we went to the village, to Chalapathi's place, even there are people from there. They struggle so much. They struggle so much to survive. But they monthly they have to pay, because prayer tower is there. Prayer tower is there. You can go and pray, and you can also pay. According to your pay, you would be prayed for. One of the wealthiest men today in the world. Isaiah was so burdened in his heart when he saw the sinfulness of the people, sinfulness of his nation that is happening around him. Isaiah did not join company with such people. So let me also get in and indulge. But Isaiah took the burden on him, cried out unto heaven, asking God, come down, oh God, come down, deal with these people. The man of burden. He was so disturbed in his heart as he looked into the future of Jerusalem. The sin was so much. The Babylonians are about to come. The sin of the people was so much. The Babylonians are about to come. What would happen to his nation? What would happen to his own people? Isaiah was so desperate. He was so overwhelmed as he looked into the condition. So he came before the Lord and pleaded before God. Verse 15, chapter 63, verse 15. Look down from heaven. O Lord, look down from heaven. Are you struggling with the sin in your life? Are you struggling with the sin in your life? Are you facing some difficult situations in your life, and you struggle to experience the power of God in your life? And have you turned back to God and questioning God, Lord, are you not seeing my condition? Are you not coming down to help me? This morning's message is actually for you. Be a man of burden. Be a man of prayer. Be a man of crying out to God. Why are we not experiencing power with God and power of God? One of the important things that I have noticed these days is we have ourselves to be blamed. We have ourselves to be blamed. Even for my own life, how much time we spend in prayer? How much time we spend in prayer? Or how much burden we have when we pray? Have you ever experienced in your prayer the tears flowing down? Tears of real repentance. Tears of real burden for God. Flowing down through your eyes, through your cheeks. Man of burden. Woman of burden. Burden for God. Burden for sin to be forgiven. Isaiah. Isaiah stands there as an example to us. Isaiah stands there as an example. A man who pleaded God to come down to help his people. A man who pleaded God. The reason behind the pleading, that's the first thing we want to meditate. The need for Isaiah's pleading, verses 15 to 19, chapter 63. Verses 15 to 19, Isaiah chapter 63, verse 15. Look down from heaven and behold from your habitation, from your habitation. And see from your habitation, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal? Where are your strength? The yearning of your heart, the mercies toward your people. Abraham cannot help us. Verse 16. Jacob cannot help us. Why Abraham could not help? Why Jacob could not help? Isaiah telling to the Lord. They all are. People of this world, they all are normal people. Of course, they are people of extraordinary faith. But they all are human beings. But Isaiah was in need of supernatural hand and help. So because the situation is so desperate, desperate. You know, when you read in verse 17, O Lord, why have you made us astray from your ways and hardened our heart from your fear? By the way, God not to be blamed. God not to be blamed. Because of the sinfulness of the people, that they are facing the consequences. God has been ever merciful unto them. God made the covenant with Abraham and reiterated with Jacob and led the people, but people hardened their heart. And they have to face the consequences for their sin. So the Lord is going to bring the Babylonians. So God cannot be blamed. God cannot be blamed. But the situation there is so alarming. So alarming. God has to bring the Babylonians. Isaiah, remember Isaiah prophesied around 700 BC. Yeah, 700 BC. And the Babylonians came after around 100 years, 150, 600. So the punishment from God is inevitable. That would definitely come. God has to do so because of the sinfulness of the people. And later we will see further what Isaiah himself acknowledging the sinfulness of the people. But now, because of the sinfulness of the people, we were told, verse 11, Isaiah 64, verse 11, our holy and beautiful temple where our fathers praised you, what, is burned with fire. And all our pleasant things are laid waste. Isaiah actually prophesies, it has not happened. It is going to happen. God revealed to Isaiah that he is going to send in 600 BC the Nebuchadnezzar and his army would definitely come, would destroy Jerusalem, would destroy Zion, would destroy temple and would take people as captives to Babylon. That will definitely come. That will definitely come. And there, Isaiah was so burdened. Oh, what would happen to my people? Oh Lord, this is a situation. This is a situation. I am so burdened in my heart, oh Lord. I am so burdened in my heart, oh Lord. So therefore, the second point, Isaiah now pleads to God. Isaiah now pleads to God. Chapter 64 now. Chapter 64, verse 1. Earlier we read chapter 63, verses 15 to 19, and now chapter 64 for the second point, verse 1. Isaiah now pleads to God. Pleads for what? For God to come down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens. That you would come down. That the mountains might shake at your presence. Isaiah realized that there is no other way. That this sinful people, their sinfulness must be dealt with. Isaiah was not saying, Lord, you come down and rejoice with the people, bless them no matter how much sin and all, Lord, you come down and rejoice, let us have a thanksgiving prayer. Isaiah is not saying the Lord to come down like that. Lord, you come down. Come down for what? Come down for what? You come down in your coming down, the earth will tremble. Verse 2, as a fire burns brushwood, fire causes waters to boil to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Don't take it easy, eh? Don't ever take the things of God so easy. When God comes down, what will happen? The earth will tremble. Why? Because of the sinfulness. The earth will be shaken. In fact, that's what exactly going to happen at the second coming of the Lord. That is what exactly going to happen when the Lord comes, as in verse 1, chapter 64, when Isaiah says, Lord, you come down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens. The clouds would be split into two. When the Lord from heaven descend on this earth, he will come. In fact, in the second coming of the Lord, that happens in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, we were told, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, we were told, when the Messiah from heaven descend on this earth, his second coming, the mountains would be shaken, the clouds would be torn apart, because the mighty Jehovah descending from heaven to this earth, and the earth will tremble because he comes as a righteous Savior. to deal with the sinfulness of the people. Sinfulness of the people. So Isaiah says, O Lord, as you come, deal with the sin. Because sin needs to be dealt with. Sin needs to be dealt with. But along with that, you read now verse 5. You meet him who rejoices and that's righteous, who remembers you in your ways. Lord, you meet him who rejoices and does righteous. Now, what does that mean? When the Lord comes down, as Isaiah plead unto the Lord, plead unto the Lord to come down, Isaiah is telling, Lord, those who do not repent, those who have forsaken your way, you deal with them accordingly. But those who repent, those who call upon your name, they are the righteous. What? Isaiah telling the Lord, Lord, you meet with them accordingly. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness. And in fact, that's what we would be seeing. Isaiah repeats that later, and that's my last point. First, Isaiah describes the predicament the nation is in, and as a result, Isaiah asking the Lord, the second point, pleading into the Lord to come down and help his people and punish those who reject the way and the will of God. And along with that, Isaiah also recognizes all those who indulge in sin. Isaiah stands on behalf of his people and plea unto the Lord. Verses 6 to 9, Isaiah recognizes and confesses the sin of the people. Take a look into verse 6 now. Verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. The burden of Isaiah for the sin of the nation stands out here. When he calls the Lord to come down and to deal with the sinfulness of the people and show mercy upon those who righteously seek the Lord, Isaiah says, Lord, my people have sinned. And what Isaiah has to do with this people, what the Lord has to do with this people, Isaiah says, I now stand on behalf of this people. Verse 6, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We are a people with filthy garment. You can imagine the moment when we sin against God. What would we feel? You know, we feel so disturbed in our heart. Because we have sinned against God. And that is a feeling. That's like, you know, we are wearing a filthy garment. Filthy means a dirty garment. You don't feel comfortable. You feel your body is itching. Filthy garment. So all those who live in sin is like, you imagine for 5 days you have not taken bath. You have not changed your garment, your dress. You know how uncomfortable you are. That is what those who continue to live in sin and filth. Filthy garment. Isaiah telling, Lord, my people, they have rejected your commandments. They have rejected your prophets. The Lord sent kings to revive. Hezekiah, in fact, Isaiah ministered during the time of Hezekiah, the king. Hezekiah was a good king. Do you know, after Hezekiah, who became the king of Judah? Manasseh. After Hezekiah, Manasseh became the king of Judah. And Manasseh was the worst king. Hezekiah's son, the worst king. And by the way, it was this Manasseh who martyred Isaiah, cutting him into two. All the good things that his father had done, Manasseh turned aside. And it is so important, we must pray for our children. You may be a good person and obedient, but your son, there are many stories in the Bible, good parents, bad sons. Bad parents, good sons also. So both are there. You need to be very close to the Lord and plea unto the Lord. Manasseh. So the sinfulness of the nation was at the peak. Oh, Isaiah was so burdened and take it on his shoulder and plea unto the Lord. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, verse 6. And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Ah, if we do not take sin seriously and confess and repent before God, what will happen? Our sin will take us away from God. Isaiah says here, we all do fade away as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. They have disregarded sin, they say, like a dry leaf. When the wind comes, what happens? When the wind comes, the dry leaves will be taken away, flew away. And that's what, if you do not take sin seriously and repent before God and ask God for His mercy, Isaiah says, oh, my people are like a dry leaf. When the wind blew towards them, they were blown away by the wind. And that's what happened to us. When we do not take sin seriously, continue to sin, continue to sin, continue to sin, oh, we end up in irreparable situation. Irreparable situation. You may claim to be a Christian, but sometimes your behavior shows that your salvation is in real question mark. Question mark. May the Lord have mercy on us. So, this point is so important. Isaiah recognizes the sinfulness of the people and stand on behalf of the people and bring before the Lord that confession. He confessed before God. Verse 7. Verse 7. Isaiah 64, verse 7. There is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. We are the clay, you are the potter. And we all are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O God. Verse 9. Nor remember the iniquity forever. Indeed, please look. We all are your people. This is confession. This is confession. This is recognizing the sinfulness of the people. This is taking sin seriously. One of the important problems that happens to Christian, that they live in all kinds of not experiencing the power of the Lord, not experiencing revival, is this, exactly this. We do not take sin seriously. We compromise over sin. We say, never mind. I can live in any kinds of filth. I can still go to the church and just take the Holy Communion and say everything is all right and on and on. We miss the power of the gospel. We miss the power of God. We miss the power of revival. We miss the power of experiencing the closeness with God. We miss the power in prayer. That's what Isaiah is burdened with here. Lord, I now take the sinfulness of my people so seriously. We are all unclean. We are all people of filth. We haven't taken bath for months. We are so smelly. Remove this garment of filth from us, O God. Let not your face hide from us, O God. Let us not be consumed because of our iniquities, O God. When was the last time we sat in the presence of God? Took some time to confess a sin. To confess a sin. Lord, I am a man of iniquity. I struggled with this sin. I struggled with this sin. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. Pride of life. Lord, I struggled so much. But we are all as unclean thing. There is none that call upon thy name. But O Lord, you are the potter. We are the clay. Means what? Lord, you can forgive our sin. You can make us clean. You are the potter. Potter means what? The one who deals with the clay. The olden days you might have seen, nowadays of course the children play, when they come to when they are young, in the kindergarten class we give them clay. Made of clay, not the mud clay, And with the clay they can make whatever shape they want. It is loose, it's like loose mud. They can do whatever shape they want. God is the potter. We are the clay. So Lord, you forgive. In fact, we come to the last point. Verses 9 to 12. Isaiah's plea for God's mercy. Verse 9. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look. We are your people. Now, you count in that passage how many times Isaiah uses this. Lord, you are our Father. We are your people. In these few verses, Isaiah again and again goes back to remind God, you are our God. We are the covenantal people. You are our Father. You are our Redeemer. Chapter 63, verse 16. You, O Lord, are our Father.
Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. You are our God. Oh Lord, do not be furious toward us, neither remember iniquity forever.
He will remember iniquity for a while, that is to punish the sin, but if the Lord remember our iniquity forever, I tell you, we are in hell. If the Lord remember our iniquity forever, we are in hell. We will end up in hell. That's eternal condemnation. The Lord, Isaiah tells to the Lord, Lord, do not remember our iniquity forever. Now, you tell me, how will the Lord not remember our iniquity forever? How would the Lord do so? When we come to the Lord in repentance. When we come to the Lord in repentance, when we recognize our sin, as Isaiah did it for his people. He recognized, we are a people of filthy rags. We confess before you. When we do so, God will not remember our sin. Iniquity means sin. God will not remember it forever. He will forgive. So that's what exactly Isaiah is doing. Isaiah is pleading for God's mercy. As Isaiah pleads for God's mercy, he reminding God that this people is your people. This city Zion, this city Jerusalem, this temple in Jerusalem is your temple, your city. Lord, forgive, forgive, forgive. As we come to the conclusion this morning, I want to remind in a very sober manner this morning. This is a burdensome passage, I know. It may not be a happy message for us. Everything in the Bible is not a happy thing. This is a tough message. But this is an important message. Today's Christianity is in very much need of such message, as much as it was needed for the people of Israel during the time of Isaiah. And later we will meditate Jeremiah. It was so much needed in those days for the church, for Israel. So much so even today for us. So much so even today for us. So I want you to come out of your slumberness. I want you to understand the seriousness of the message. The burden of this man of God, which made him a man of faith, Isaiah. Isaiah could have just joined the company of all those who rejected the truth. But because of the divine call upon him, a man of vision, a man who wanted to win things for God, he could not set aside the sinfulness of the people, the sinfulness of the nation. He was so burdened. So this morning we want to ask the Lord, look into my life. Look into my family. Look into our church, O God. Areas need to be set right. There is still time for us. Areas that need to be set right, there is still time for us. Thank God for the ministry of Isaiah. Thank God for the burden that God gave to Isaiah, that Isaiah could stand up on behalf of the nation. Isaiah could stand up on behalf of the nation to remind this truth. So this reminder has come once again unto us that we need to straighten our path. But we thank God when Isaiah brought this message, Isaiah was very confident that the Lord would listen Isaiah's plea and help his nation. Isaiah was so confident. In verse 12 we read, "Will thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Will thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore?" When Isaiah asked those questions, Isaiah was so confident that the Lord would be merciful to the house of Jacob. And later when you read through chapter 65 and chapter 60, 65 and 66, the last two chapters, in fact, affirm what I just mentioned, that the Lord's mercy, the Lord offered for the house of Jacob. We thank God for that. So this morning, as we come to the Lord, I want to just conclude a message by reading this 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. We all know this verse that Solomon in his thanksgiving prayer before the Lord, as he was getting ready to consecrate the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." You meditated these words in the light of what we just meditated from Isaiah chapter 64 and Isaiah chapter 63. It's very crystal clear what Solomon prayed for the house of Israel. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." May we take this message into our hearts. And I will tell you, this is the only way for us to be experiencing the real power of God, the real power in prayer. So if you are experiencing any spiritual slumber, spiritually cold, this is the only way. Isaiah told unto the Lord for Israel, and Solomon tells Israelites and praying unto the Lord for his people. This is the only way. This is the only way. Not doing some miracles here and there, saying that I have this miracle power and I can pray for you and this thing will be healed and that thing will be healed or that thing will be done. Pocketing your money and going and living a comfortable life, and that's all blasphemy in the name of God. That's all blasphemy in the name of God. Those things are not church ministry. And we have seen enough in this nation, in today's church. Even if only 10 people gather here, I won't mind. Even if only 10 people, I won't mind. But if those, all those 10 people understood this message that this morning we meditated, just 10 people, few families, never mind, but if all of us understand this message, that we need that closeness with God, we need to understand our utter despicable condition of sin that has to be dealt with. We need to cry and pray and cry, Lord, save my family. My family is in utter turmoil. There is no unity. There is infighting happening. Husband and wife and children. There is no peace at home. There is no peace in my heart. I am so tempted by this sin and that sin. Lord, forgive me. Give me the ability. Do a miracle in my life. Praying for a home and praying for a, 20 lakhs car and all those things, and Rolex watch and all those things. Later, this is what is important. Your life, your family, your children, eternity. Will you be a castaway? Will you be trembling when the Lord returns? Or rather, rejoicing. Will your family be there to sing hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Come, take my life. Take my family. Come, Lord. Will you be there? Will your family be there to sing hallelujah when the Lord returns? Or you will be trembling. Lord, don't come. I am not ready. Don't come. Don't come. I am in filth. My garment is so filthy. Don't come. Don't come. No shortcut. No shortcut. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let this prayer be a very sincere reality of our lives. Children who are hearing me, youngsters, families, covenantal heads, men and ladies, will this be our sincere prayer before God? Here only we experience the power of God. And I want every member of our church, every family, experience this power of the gospel, this power of God, this power of God. In true transformation, and we truly, truly experience that peace and joy that comes from salvation, shall we pray? Mm-hmm.